This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the entire planet, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric is under the weather. Just got the notice here just a few minutes ago. So, me and you. So, I hope he's doing all right. And we got a lot to talk about. Coming up on the show today, inflation skyrockets, new poll, Biden approval rating just absolutely crashes to 33% in a new Quinnipiac poll. So we'll get to that, a registered voter poll. Dick Durbin, Biden went too far in his speech. Now, Durbin said this, remember, you folks in Illinois, and I know that a lot of people probably don't remember this because a lot of times we can live in the bubble of today. But we remember here on Red Eye Radio outrageous things that are said, and it was Senator Dick Durbin who compared U.S. troops, yes, U.S. soldiers, to the mass, the genocidal mass murderer Pol Pot. So, being familiar with outrageous statements and things that go too far, Dick Durbin is an expert. And he says that Biden's speech went too far. We will get to that. Elizabeth Warren, again, yesterday, Eric and I talked about this when she's just as on this narrative, which Biden is on, too, that, well, it's the greedy corporations. That's why inflation is happening. Even the left doesn't buy that anymore. We told you the Washington Post editorial page called it foolishness that Biden is talking about it. But that comes directly from Elizabeth Warren. Even the left believes Stacey Abrams was a no-show to Biden's speech because she doesn't wish to be seen with him. I didn't see this till today, but this was actually 2 days ago before. And this was on MSNBC. I want to play this audio cut. Here on MSNBC, this is on Morning Joe, where, I mean, they have a lot of fun with it. You actually listen to this and you say, well, this could have been on Fox.
Yeah,
well,
I don't get that.
You know, I it's such a big day that Stacey Abrams has a scheduling event. Well, her car is getting a tune-up, so you can understand. Because it's hard.
You can't get an appointment.
COVID. Hold on.
You don't know.
And the mechanics, half the mechanics are home. They're not
okay.
Asymptomatic, but they won't let them in the garage. So she has to get the car to
She's getting her tires rotated, to be more
and
specific.
And rotated, too. Yeah. So how in the world can she be in two places at once? What are we at? No, this is bad. This is one.
There you go. We'll have more of that coming up because there was more on that. But it's like even the left knows. As they brought up, that is Stacey Abrams' issue. That's it. And yeah, we brought it up yesterday saying, no, she doesn't want to be seen with them because you work around whatever problem you have. The White House and if the White House and Stacey Abrams, because the whole point is she's running for governor of Georgia based on the fact that the last election that she ran in was stolen from her. And that's the entire point that they're trying to bring up, that people are being disenfranchised because of the mean Republicans. And so that is her number one issue. And she doesn't show up when Biden is there. And everybody knows it. Nobody wants to be seen with Biden. I wonder if the Democratic Party in Georgia was telling the White House, we don't want you to come here. More on that coming up. GOP leaders send a letter to the education secretary about the Parents Are Terrorist letter. We'll get to that. We talked about that yesterday and figured that Republicans would start pounding on it. The guidance will not change on face masks, even though the science has, because whatever. And of the Democrats' $1.9 trillion spending bill from last year, only 1% went for COVID therapies. Only 1%. White House is now stating, we're going to, you know, the COVID therapies, we're going to now get into production. And tens of thousands of millions of billions of monoclonal therapies will be ready soon. I think it was the Wall Street Journal pointed out, well, by the time you get to it, Omicron will be passed. Why didn't you do it sooner? Why was only 1% of the $1.9 trillion last March, which was supposed to be focused on COVID, why did only 1% go to the therapies? As much as they said went, I believe, to the MTA in New York, the transit authority in New York. No? Thought we had plenty of money's not the problem, right? That and more coming up here on the show today, plus your calls and comments if you want to get in. Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin conceded yesterday that President Joe Biden might have taken his rhetoric a bit too far when he compared his political opponents to traitors and segregationists during his speech in Georgia the day before. Durbin joined CNN anchor Jake Tapper on Wednesday. This is from DailyWire.com. And the broadcast of The Lead to discuss the bill that Biden had gone to Georgia to promote, which, again, would implement a sweeping overhaul of federal elections. Tapper began with Biden's own words from his speech. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis? Are there not legitimate reasons that a senator, a Democratic senator, might be concerned that changing the filibuster rule will set a horrible precedent that Republicans will exploit to do something like pass nationwide abortion ban or something like that without saying that Sinema and Manchin are like Bull Connor and Jefferson Davis? And Durbin, tried to deflect, and he came back. He goes, but you're comparing, or Biden is comparing, and you're not criticizing the idea of a legislator reducing the number of days for early voting from 15 to 10, or wanting voters to present a photo ID before they vote. You're comparing that to Bull Connor. Even the left sees it. Who literally, he goes, you're comparing that to Bull Connor, who literally set dogs upon civil rights protesters. George Wallace, who said segregation today, segregation forever. I'm paraphrasing, he said. Or Jefferson Davis, the president of the traitorous Confederacy. I mean, isn't that a little stark, Tapper pressed? It is stark, and I will concede that point, Durbin said. So there you go. Everybody knows the Georgia election law. And we said this a long time ago, the Democrats through Joe Biden. This is the evidence that the Democratic Party is the party of identity politics, which means they don't judge people as individuals. They judge people by groups. It's the worst of what we human beings can do. You know the problems and the wars and what has happened in our world, in our history, because people judge by groups and not individuals. And we know that stereotyping individuals is what leads to racism. And we know that lying in order to create racial hatred is what many hate group leaders around the world have done in our history, and we know the consequences are horrible because of it. It begins with what Biden is doing. Not saying it's going to end here in this country that way. I don't believe it will, but that's where it starts. It's no better than what hate group leaders do. Lie about something to turn people against each other. Now, I would say Biden is the master of it, but he can't sell it. He can't sell it even to Democrats. But it is the clear evidence also, because Biden is a mainstream and has been a mainstream Democratic politician for 50 years. And he is the one promoting the lie to create racial division. And he's lying about it. Jake Tapper even knows it. CNN knows it. You know it. If you're a Democrat, you know it. 18 days to vote in an election is not reducing, is not true. 18 days to vote in an election is not trying to keep people from voting. Making it so political groups cannot hand water and food to people, but if they wish to drop it off earlier, they can, and there's a central location where you can pick it up. We as a nation agree wholeheartedly that political operatives should not be in your face or attempting to change your vote within a certain distance of a polling place. We know it. It is the Democrats that wish to weaken the integrity of elections. It is Democrats that still are playing that tightrope game on photo ID. Why? And even the left knows it. We got a great show ahead. So much to talk about, plus your calls and comments. If you want to get in, we would love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, I just saw this story here. Natural immunity from getting a COVID infection will now count as fully vaccinated, according to new NCAA guidelines for college athletes. According to ESPN, the organization's definition of fully vaccinated individuals has been expanded from those within 2 months of receiving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, 5 months of receiving the Pfizer vaccine series, or 6 months of receiving the Moderna vaccine series, and those who have been boosted, to include athletes within 90 days of a documented COVID-19 infection. The NCAA still suggests but does not require a 5-day quarantine period following a positive test and wearing a mask for 5 more days. So that's really interesting. I find that interesting. I just saw that story here a little bit ago. 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in on the show today. Wow. Looking at inflation. Just to give you the overall effect on inflation from last year, real wages were reduced 2.4% in 2021. That is how much inflation has affected a person's standard of living. Labor Department said on Wednesday, this according to the Wall Street Journal, that the consumer price index rose 0.5% in December or 7% in the last year. That's the highest annual rate since 1982. The current inflation, according to the Wall Street Journal, caught the Federal Reserve and the Biden administration entirely by surprise, and they're still not sure what to do about it other than to blame someone else. It's important to understand what a policy and intellectual failure this inflation represents for the Keynesians who are in charge of the current economic policy. The Biden administration and Federal Reserve flooded the economy with money in 2021, even as the recovery from the COVID recession was long over. Federal Chairman Jerome Powell became a cheerleader for the $1.9 trillion March spending spree on top of the $4 trillion in COVID relief Congress spent in 2020. The central bank also declined to withdraw its extraordinary monetary support despite clear signs of inflation. When critics began to warn of excess monetary growth and price increases, the Fed and the White House dismissed it as transitory, which then our friend Richard came up with the term, no, it's more permatory, and said, don't worry. As late as July, President Biden said, there's nobody suggesting there's unchecked inflation on the way. No serious economist. And we know that was not the truth, because not only was it just the opposition to Biden, which is conservatives, that were warning of inflation. We were way back last year. It was the economists from the Obama administration that had warned the Biden administration, you can't do this. You're going to get massive inflation. They did not listen to the Obama economist that knew that inflation was coming. What's interesting is they go back and look at the 70s, they say when the Keynesians also ran the economy but had no explanation for the inflation that took off or for the stagflation that later set in as that awful decade rolled on, they blamed corporations, rolled out whip inflation now buttons, and imposed price controls. Only at the end of the decade, after inflation became a political liability for Democrats, did Jimmy Carter appoint Volcker to the Fed. Mr. Biden, though, still is in denial. His statement Wednesday took solace in the monthly increase in December, since it went down from the previous 2 months. But core prices without food and energy actually increased from the price of the previous month. 866-90-RED-EYE, here's your national forecast.
There'll be several areas of snow chances around the country today, including the upper Great Lakes, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Also on the lee side of the Great Lakes, from Cleveland into upstate New York and onward into Maine, central Ohio and Pittsburgh could pick up some snow showers, especially this afternoon. In the Pacific Northwest, rain for the coast, snow and ice for the Cascades. That system will be pushing over the Rockies and eastward. And a big weather maker 24 hours from now is shaping up for the Northern Plains. This will put several inches of snow throughout the states of North and South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota. Instead of this system just moving straight across the U.S.-Canadian border, it's going to dip southward, losing a lot of energy until Friday into Saturday, when that cold weather meets up with warm, moist air from the south, a snowmaker for the Tennessee Valley by the weekend. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
we all sit in our little delusional world. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. He has the morning off. I'm Gary McNamara. I'm here, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in. Just talking about inflation. And don't forget, inflation, like any other price increases, affect the poor and the middle class the most. They're the ones who really suffer with this the policy, which is why, and one thing Eric and I were pleased with last year is finally the American public seemed to understand, at least the polling showed, that all of the spending ends up with higher inflation. And at that particular point, the Democrats lost what I believe is just a huge edge with the public who believes, and this goes back to Eric and I talking a long, long time ago when Romney lost to Obama, was the Ken and Ken vote that always said and said, well, government can always save us, government can always save us, government can always save us. That even though they didn't take, you know, they didn't take from the government, they weren't on welfare, they weren't on unemployment, they were working, that was always in the back of their mind, which is why they would vote Democrat, because they believed that the Democrats would spend more money in an emergency. Well, that's been blown to hell now, that concept, because now Americans say, well, you're spending all this money and I'm not really getting much of it, and now I'm losing a significant amount of my income. And it doesn't matter whether I get a raise. And, you know, we talked about the other day about one out of four people probably will try to jump to different jobs. That's because if you're working right now, odds are you're not going to get a raise. You get that raise by jumping to another job. And so, you know, you look at the problem you know, they made a big to-do last month about gas prices dropping slightly, and I think gas prices were down 0.4%. But core prices without food and energy actually increased. And I think food, let me check to see what food did last month. I don't, but energy decreased a little bit because gas prices went down. But as we know now, oil is back up to $82 a barrel. And the oil stocks are moving up. And they're moving up with the anticipation that gasoline prices are going to increase. And when you send the message, because remember, just last week, 42 Democrats sent a letter to Biden saying we've got to do something to reduce the price of energy. The same people whose global warming climate change policy is to skyrocket energy prices, for some reason never figured out that if the public can look and say, you're the one to, yeah, you want to save the planet? That's great. That's another abstract reason to vote for Democrats. Oh, the reality is I got to pay for it? No, I don't like that at all. All of a sudden they become two separate things. To a Democrat, then, oh, well, you know, I want free health care and I want to save the planet. I just don't want to pay for it. And so Democrats start panicking as they did last week, telling Biden, I think this had to be Thursday we did this before we, yeah, it was the Thursday or Friday show where we brought this up, that they sent this letter. By Monday, Biden said, okay, we're going to stop any lease permits in another section of Alaska. Let's head to you. We go to David in Los Angeles. David, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, David.
Thanks for having me on tonight, Gary. I would like to ask you how the Democrats think they have a chance of winning in the 2022 midterms or the 2024 election with gas at $4 or $5 a gallon, with this type of inflation that's caused because Joe Biden cut off the natural oil we had here in America and is getting it from Russia and Saudi Arabia, under the guise of global warming, which who cares if it's coming from Alaska or Canada or Russia or Saudi Arabia? It's still the same globe it's coming from, so it doesn't even help global warming. But do you think, I don't think there's any chance that they could win. I think it's going to be a wipeout with this. How do you, why are they allowing it to be this bad? Don't they realize they're going to get wiped out? What do you think? Why?
We spent a lot of time talking about that the last few months, and even with Biden going out yesterday, you know, and it wasn't about energy, but it was about voting laws in Georgia, and people know what the voting laws are. My God, when you have 18 days to vote in an election, that isn't trying to keep people from voting. When you say, look, if you want to vote by mail, you've got to present voter ID and not just signature comparison. That's to keep integrity in an election. But I don't know. Eric, I said this to Eric yesterday. I said, if I'm a political consultant, and if you listen to the show, you know we love doing that. You know, just take away our own biases of what we believe an issue is, but say to ourselves, if I'm a political analyst or they hire me, if the Democratic Party hired me and said, you know, what should we do? I'd say the exact opposite of what you're doing. I don't know how they can have any political, you know, independent political analyst giving them advice, because it seems like it's just political suicide. Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. But it seems like it's political suicide each and every day. I don't know. It is amazing, except there comes to a point. And I always go back, if you remember the movie Miracle, that about the U.S. hockey team, you know, winning the gold medal, but beating the Russians, in the Miracle on Ice game. And I always remember that you've got, it's coming to the end of the game. There's a minute left, and the Soviets are down by one goal. And I don't know whether this happened or not, but the Craig, the guy who played, I can't think of his name, the assistant coach, as Herb Brooks, you know, looks and, you know, they're not pulling the goalie. And if you know hockey, when you're down by one goal and it's like a minute left or maybe 2 minutes left, you pull the goalie, and that way you can put another player on the ice and hopefully keep it at that end to score a goal. And I just remember the line was, he's never been in this position before. He doesn't know what to do. That he doesn't know what, something that's so obvious. You pull the goalie and you get six guys on the ice going up six against five. You basically have a power play. Now, yeah, there's always a chance they can take the puck and shoot it down the net and put it in the goal, but you have no choice. You're going to lose the game. And I look at the Democratic Party sort of as if they don't know what to do. We have talked, and on the economy, they just don't know what to do. I can't tell you, and we'll just talk economics for this for the next couple of minutes, because there's a whole bunch of other topics we can talk about, which just blow my mind, because it's obvious it's not going to work in their favor politically. And they just keep marching down that same road. Economically speaking, inflation, the Obama economists were telling them. The economists that served in the Obama administration warned them. They just didn't listen. I remember, if you've ever seen the show Bar Rescue, this goes back when it first started, we talked to John Taffer. And Eric and I are always fascinated with that show, because these people are in their own business and they invest their own money. This is their own money that they invest into it. And we've always been blown away when Taffer says, how much debt are you in? Well, $1 million on this bar. What? What are you talking about? $1 million? Yeah, it was great. It was really successful for the first 2 years, but then it went downhill. What do you mean it went down? Then if it went downhill and you couldn't save it, you should have closed it when you lost $10,000. What do you mean you're in debt for $1 million? Because that would be me. If I'm in a bar, I got a bar, I own a bar, And we're doing, I'm just throwing out a figure. We're doing, after all expenses are paid, and that includes my salary as the owner, and we're making $3,000, $4,000 profit a month, and all of a sudden it goes down to $1,000, I'm panicking then. And I'll never forget Eric asking John Taffer, he said, you know, is it the digital, the digital economy, the fact that we just don't carry cash anymore? Is it the fact that money to these people are just numbers, that they don't understand that there is actually a reality to economics? And Taffer was like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it boggles the mind. And I really come back to that. I really come back to that. These people just don't. The Keynesians believe that government control money at everything and save it, and there's no cost. That there's no cost to printing money. That there's no cost to debt. I really believe they're delusional. I don't understand it, because every time when this happens, and I forgot who documented it and went through like this last century and said it goes like this: we have an emergency, we way overspend to save from the emergency, and then we get into inflation, and then after inflation you go into recession, and then after recession you go into recovery. And then the recession is caused because you've got to raise interest rates. It's like this cycle goes on. History shows it. If you look at history, it's duh. And they just ignore it. I can't tell you. The only other thing that I can figure out is they ignore it because the Democrats believe that they could win elections if they just showered the American public with money. That political gain. Because they've got to know it. They're economists. But some of the Keynesians don't. They just don't believe it. They don't believe in economics. They believe that they can change economics. You can distort economics. You can't change it. You can't. People respond to incentive and disincentive. End of story. You can't change that in human nature. They believe they can. That's the delusion that they have. That's the arrogance that they have. So those are just some guesses, but getting into Biden's head, or let's be honest, you actually think that Biden understands economics? Do you really think that Harris understands economics? They were warned. They were warned by their own party. They were warned by Obama economists that this was going to happen. They didn't care. Political gain was more important. They were drunk. They were high on political gain. We shower with the Americans public with money. We win elections from now until the end of time. That's what I believe they were thinking. 866-90 Red Eye.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Eric is out under the weather today, so we hope he's doing okay. So it's me and you. If you want to be Eric, you can be a temporary co-host. You can be Eric for a little bit here if you want to get in. 866-90 Red Eye. We'll continue more. We only got about a minute here, so I want to give people plenty of time to say what they want to say. More on inflation, the filibuster. Well, if they want to get the vote in by the 17th, they've got another, 2 days to do it. I'm assuming they have off on the weekend. I don't know if they do or not. So it is a 3-day weekend. It's a federal holiday on Monday, so I'm assuming that they do. So if they're going to have a vote on the filibuster, it's got to take place in the next couple of days. unless they plan on working Saturday to do that, and I just don't see that happening. But as for the last caller, thanks so much, because you have the question. Looking at it, because it's like you wonder when you put on your political consultant hat, you look at the Democrats and you say, don't you, they understand they're committing political suicide? And that's why we believe that many Republicans have been quiet. Number one, Republicans have been quiet because they're not part of the process. And the media doesn't focus on them. The whole focus has been Democrats arguing with each other. And that's the other point. Since they've let the Republicans out of the debate, well, then they argue between each other. That politically isn't good either. If I'm a political consultant, I would tell them that also. But we've given the Democrats advice before, and many of you have gotten angry. But the good thing is they never listen to us.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has a morning off. He's under the weather. We hope he's feeling better. So it's me and you, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in. Download our Red Eye Radio app today, and you can listen when you want to. I want to play this audio cut. This is from yesterday, and this is the whole thing in the filibuster. You know, we went through yesterday a bunch of different quotes from Democrats over the years about how passionate they were about keeping the filibuster, and now it's like, boom, they want to change it because they can't pass what they wish to get through. And so they believe since they can't get what they want, the entire system is broken, which, of course, is ridiculous. But here is yesterday Senator Tom Cotton. He spoke. I'm not going to play the entire thing, but he just spoke. And everything that he's saying, his speech consisted entirely of Schumer's past statements. So these are not the words of Tom Cotton. Well, they are the words of Tom Cotton, but he is just repeating the words of what Chuck Schumer has said about the filibuster in the past.
The senator from Arkansas.
Right now, we are on the precipice of a constitutional crisis. We're about to step into the abyss. I want to talk for a few minutes why we're on that precipice and why we're looking into that abyss. Let me first ask a fundamental question. What is the crisis that calls for the undoing of two centuries of tradition? Are senators merely doing their jobs as legislators, responding to a generalized public calling for the abolition of the filibuster? Clearly not. It is not the American people at large who are demanding detonation of the nuclear option. The nuclear option is being pushed largely by the radioactive rhetoric of a small band of radicals who hold in their hands the political fortunes of the president. Constitutional scholars will tell us that the reason we have these rules in the Senate, unlimited debate, two-thirds to change the rules, the idea that 60 have to close off debate, is embodied in the spirit and rule of the Constitution. That is what the Constitution is all about, and we all know it. It is the Senate where the Founding Fathers established a repository of checks and balances. It's not like the House of Representatives, where the majority leader or the Speaker can snap his fingers and get what he wants. On important issues, the Founding Fathers wanted, and they were correct in my judgment, that the slimmest majority should not always govern. The Senate is not a majoritarian body. The bottom line is very simple. The ideologues in the Senate want to turn the Founding Fathers, what the Founding Fathers called the cooling saucer of democracy, into a rubber stamp of dictatorship. They want to make this country into a banana republic, where if you don't get your way, you change the rules. Are we going to let them? It will be a doomsday for democracy if we do.
All right, I just had to get the doomsday in there, but that's Tom Cotton reading what Chuck Schumer has said in the past about anybody daring to get rid of the filibuster. I do think that one of the reasons is the fact that they know that they're in horrible shape. We had been looking for any type of polling that had been done on the filibuster and really couldn't find any. And then TIP polling came out with one just earlier this week. And it was fascinating to see because it was a statistical tie between Democrats and Republicans in support of the filibuster. And so it's not even where they can look at it and say, our Democratic base, 80%, want to change the filibuster. And so let's appease our base. They don't even have that. There was a 16-point margin. I believe it was 51% of Democrats in that TIP poll wanted to keep the filibuster. 36% or 35%, I think it was, wanted to change it. It was 15 or 16 points. For Republicans, it was 53% did not want to change the filibuster. 24% did. And it's simply, I believe a lot of it is political, that it's, well, my God, if you get rid of the filibuster, when the other side gets in control, God, the things that they might do. And Democrats are probably thinking the exact same thing. That if you had it where all you needed was, that slim majority in the Senate, that radical things would be done on both the left and the right. But what drove this entire thing is Build Back Better, as we all know. Not getting Build Back Better and the Democrats claiming that a minority of the Senate, because of Build Back Better, where a minority of the Senate was able to defeat that Build Back Better bill. Well, that was wrong because that was under reconciliation. They didn't have the 51. And so they're complaining about, in order to change the rules, you need 67 in order to change the Senate rules. And that's wrong. Well, it wouldn't matter even if it was 50-50. They don't have the votes to do it. So why politically are they doing it? I can only think of one reason. The only thing that Democrats know how to do is they know how to do a lot of different things. But what I think they believe the most important thing that they have done, this is what I believe they believe, the most important thing they have done is flush the society with cash. And if they do that, all the cash they've been spending and giving to the American public, even though the public has turned against that because of inflation, they're just ignoring that. And I believe that they think that because they see the polls, they know the polls aren't in favor, they just want to be able to pass every liberal law they could possibly pass between now and when they may be out of office in November. I do believe there is a fear especially in the leadership, people that have been around. And Eric and I have spent a lot of time on this, and it's not something that you hear much in the media at all. But I think there's a fear, I'll call it the Jimmy Carter syndrome, that Carter was so bad that you did not have a Democrat president for the next 12 years, and the Democrats lost a tremendous amount of influence in the government, not only over that 12-year period, but you can go all the way from 1980 all the way to 1995 because of the 94 Congress. And there is that fear. And as we know, their policies back then weren't even close to being as insanely radical as they are right now. And so I believe that the leadership believes this is the Hail Mary pass. There's nothing else that we can do, because politically they don't even have a majority of Democrats that wish to get rid of the filibuster. But it is perplexing, is it not? Let us go to Dale in Ohio. Dale, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Dale.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, you know, you're spot on, buddy. I mean, that's what one thing I was going to talk about. You know, if they could have got that Triple B passed and given money to people, then they would have got more votes at the ballot box, because there's a lot of people that does not want to work, that wants to live on the taxpayers' dollars, that would love that. I'm 66 years old. I'll be 67 in February, and I'm drawing my Social Security, but I'm still working, and not because I have to, because I like working. I've got a good job. But you know, the Democrats would have had it made if they would have kept the policies that Trump had when they got in office. But I believe old Joe Biden is not thinking right anymore with age, and I don't mean to say that in a mean way. And I think he's just being used as a puppet for the, say, the squad.
Well,
they
want
to get social.
No, the only thing I would say is... Go ahead. All I was going to say is, normally it would work, but last year the public figured out that spending the money was causing inflation, and the majority of Americans, because the polling showed now that Americans were saying, especially on the child tax credit, that the majority of Americans believe that they shouldn't be doing that because spending that money is causing inflation, that there was concern in the public that spending the money, and this is where we said that's where the Democrats lost a huge advantage, is the public figured out that the government spending was causing inflation, and the majority of America really wasn't. You know, they looked at what they got and they said, okay, I might have gotten this, but I think inflation last year, the average family, because of inflation, I think it was something, the figure was like $3,600 Americans lost last year because of inflation alone. Well, you know, you can sit there and say, all right, maybe I got both of the stimulus plans and other money, but the stimulus plans might have been, you know, $4,000, but now I've got inflation, or $5,000 in benefits I got during COVID, but now inflation has eaten into everything, and it's going to be lasting for a long time, and therefore, even though the government was spending money, for a significant portion of people, it ends up being a net negative. And they start seeing that and go, whoa, what in the world's this? So that was where they lost the edge. America figured out spending money causes inflation. And I would hope also they're concerned about debt and what we're putting on our future generations. I would hope that. So, yeah. But again, they weren't going to keep, you know, they weren't going to keep Trump policies in effect on immigration and things like that. But again, because they did not, because here's where your point's solid. If they would have kept the same policy, and if Biden would not have invited illegal immigrants to come into the country, his numbers would not be as low as they are, because that's when his numbers started sinking. when things went crazy at the border. And the other thing is, as we've stated before, the president and the Democrats cannot claim any high road on COVID, that they care about Americans not getting COVID, when you have had tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people that have crossed the southern border that have not been detected of having as having COVID when they crossed the border. And unless you were willing to say, nope, sorry, COVID, borders closed, you can't claim any concern for American citizens or American lives. The public just doesn't buy it. If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on sleep apnea. Treatment of sleep apnea. If you're diagnosed with sleep apnea, your doctor will discuss your treatment options with you. The most common treatment for sleep apnea is the use of a CPAP machine. CPAP stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure, and it will regulate your breathing while you sleep. Because you'll no longer be struggling for air, you'll sleep more soundly and feel more refreshed when you wake up. Other potential treatments for sleep apnea include an oral device that will reposition your jaw or tongue so that your airway isn't blocked. If you have severe sleep apnea and these treatments don't work for you, then surgery may be required, but surgery usually isn't needed. After being successfully treated, you'll sleep much better, and as a result, you'll feel more alert and rested during the day. And the good news for drivers who have been medically disqualified because of sleep apnea is that they can regain their medically qualified to drive status once they are being treated successfully. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by National Truck Protection and Premium 2000 Plus, the number one selling aftermarket truck warranties in North America. Available at thousands of used truck dealers everywhere.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. It will be interesting to see, because things have been quiet the last few hours. I expected more of a buildup. One of the things Eric and I are, this is on the whole filibuster thing, we've been asking is, will Schumer have the vote? Does he really want everybody on record if it's not going to pass? They're not negotiating anything with the Republicans, and Manchin made it clear that it has to be to change the rules, any rule, not just the entire filibuster, but the other things that they're talking about. Manchin already said 67 votes you're going to need. He will not pass any rules changes without bipartisan support in the Senate. And so you're not going to get anything right now. And I noticed the discussion has been, well, the change in the filibuster is off the table, but they're looking at other different rule changes there. Any of the rule changes that the Democrats want, they have no Republicans on board. The Republicans have suggested a few rules changes, but, you know, that's... Are the Democrats really interested in that? But nothing has to do with getting rid of the filibuster. So do you have the vote and you're defeated because of your own party, and you view that somehow as what? Well, we got everybody on record. And I know this may sound bizarre, but they say there could be six or more Democrats that are actually against a filibuster change. Well, if you go for the full filibuster, or if you go for some other rule change, you're still not going to get to the 67 that is necessary to do so. you're not going to get to 50 with Manchin. So what's the purpose of doing it? I think in bizarre ways that they're thinking, well, okay, well, we will have a vote, even though we can't pass it, to help save those six or seven or eight senators that are up for re-election coming in 2020, and they can vote against removing the filibuster, and it will help them. I don't know what other reason there would be. Because it doesn't make any sense, especially with the polling showing their own party, the members of their own party, by a wide margin, don't want to get rid of the filibuster. We definitely live in unique political times.
Lazy and prone to long lunches, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you'd like to get in. Inflation, the filibuster, and more. Let's go to Demetrius in St. Louis. Demetrius, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
How you doing?
Very good. You need to turn your radio down in the background.
Okay. Yeah. So when it comes to the subject of the filibuster, I really feel like as Americans, we all need to wake up, because getting rid of it and keeping it doesn't really solve a problem. You know, what they need to try to do is find a better option for voters to actually vote and be able to impose their will. You know, I feel like right now in our political system, there's no Democrats and Republicans. They're all rich. And, yeah. They're, you know, vying for power and making money, and they got the regular American people, you know, bickering back and forth. You know, if they really want to come up with a solution, they will come up with a solution that better reflects, you know, the votes and the feelings of everyday Americans, and not have us tied up with this, I call it distractionary politics.
Well, again, when you look at what the Democrats are attempting to do right now, the Democrats have put forward some pretty radical policies. The money that we have spent during COVID is absolutely unprecedented in American history. The debt that is being created for future generations is monstrous. And that's why they can't get the support of Joe Manchin on it, because Joe Manchin is the only, as we call him, pre-COVID liberal that is left. He still wants to spend a lot of money, but he doesn't want to spend the kind of money and put the debt on future generations. Plus, he also last year recognized what would happen with inflation. So there's two things.
Can I say?
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Just one more thing, too. So, like, when you speak about inflation, I just wonder, you know, like with the gas prices, they went up, but the gas companies had record, you know, profit margins. I wonder how many Republican and Democrat politicians are invested and tied to a lot of these companies that are making, you know, record money while the everyday people, you know, are struggling to pay bills.
Well, they don't make, where's your source that they're making record profit margins?
Well, at one point, so I know somebody that worked with Circle K, right? And that's just a gas station, but like the petrol companies, they made very good profit margins last year, you know, and the price of oil per barrel didn't go up, you know, or anything like that. So for the prices, you know, to be going up, I just feel like the politicians are making a lot of money. They want to stay in power.
The average profit margin for the oil and gas industry in 2020 was 6.8%. It's not a huge profit margin.
Okay.
From in 2011, it was 5%. So that profit margin is not at all out of any mainstream of what a profit margin of a company would be. You have, for example, it would be like, you know, beer companies, soft drink companies, their profit margins are way, way up there. And so oil is not, you know, that's one thing that people believe is that their profit margins are incredibly big. But if you do want to lower, what lowers gas prices? Producing more.
Yeah.
If you produce more and there's more supply, then gas prices will go down. Democrats claim that they wish to keep gas prices down as they had the last month, and they do everything to stop oil production. Well, you can't have it both ways, and that's what they're trying to do. That, to me, I mean, that's, you know, and again, we like to throw out populist generalities at times, and I just don't go for that because it doesn't get you anywhere. Sometimes a populist idea can be a true idea. Sometimes it can be not. But I just hate the generalizations. And I hate the generalizations that we have seen, and we see it now all the time. We need to stop this tribalism. It's a tribalism. It's the fact that we can't all get together. Well, why can't we all get together? Well, we can't all get together because of the specifics of the issues that are being discussed. As we have talked about before, some of the radical things that Democrats are talking about. They don't like, Democrats do not agree with the First Amendment to the United States. They wish to change it. They wish to change freedom of religion. They wish to get rid of the Second Amendment. They don't like the Senate. They wish to get rid of the Senate now. They wish to get rid of the Electoral College. They don't agree with the separation of powers. They believe that, especially with judges, the judges should be activist judges. The judges should do what they believe is correct based on a leftist ideology. I disagree with that. That's not their job. They're not legislators. I think a policy is completely and totally radical when you tell the American public that you wish to lower energy prices, which affect and hurt the poor and middle class the most, and you continually lie to the American public, as the Democrats have done, over and over again. And you tell them you want lower prices and you do everything to stop production and stop supply that you can do. Obama did the same thing. We always laugh about Obama did everything he could because the federal government can't control everything on oil production. They couldn't control oil production on private and state lands. But on federal lands, they tried to do everything possible, Obama did, to stop oil and natural gas production. Trump gets in office. Production goes way up. And that's because of fracking. And he was saying, see, look at the oil production. Well, Obama comes back. That was me. That was me. We produce the oil. We produce the oil. And there has been, this isn't just the last month. This is consistent for the Democrats. Well, I think that's a pretty insane policy to be promoting to the American public, that you want lower gas prices, you want lower energy prices, yet you vote to do the exact opposite, but you pretend, as the Democrats did last week, they sent a letter to the Biden administration, you need to lower oil prices. Well, you vote all the time to increase oil prices and energy prices. To me, that's pure insanity. And we see it here in the filibuster. They've always been against, you know, we have, over the last couple of days, read you all the different quotes from Democrats about not getting rid of the filibuster. Well, they don't care. They don't care. So, yeah, you know, you see it here. Another story here. something that when you actually break it down, people go, what? Because the story's back again. Hill.com. Advocates and lawmakers are stepping up the pressure on President Biden to act on student loan forgiveness, focusing on it as a major issue some warn Democrats could pay for at the ballot box in the coming midterm elections. Biden has been called on to work with Congress on the issue and provide more transparency about his authority to wipe out all federal student debt for millions of Americans. The extension once again of the student loan repayment pause amid record spikes in COVID-19 cases made advocates optimistic that more action will come out of the White House. I think the administration needs to engage more with Congress on this because I think there's a real concern. Broad-based student loan forgiveness. And by the way, see, this is another thing. It's not forgiveness. It's a lie. Nobody is forgiving anything. They're transferring your debt, if you have a college loan, to people who did not take out a college loan. Broad-based student loan forgiveness has gained support among Democratic leaders like Senator Schumer, who are looking for Biden to support on an issue as the party prepares for a critical election year. Pressure is mounting from all fronts. It's mounting from grassroots. It's mounting from the public. It's mounting from members of Congress and the reality of the economy, the midterms. There are several pressures that are aligning, and they really have to deliver, said Thomas Gokey, organizer with the Debt Collective. I haven't seen a poll on this in a while. Poll, just what the American public thinks on this. Poll on college loan forgiveness. I haven't seen one in a while. There it is. Okay. Last year, this is CNBC. More than 60% of voters support some student loan debt forgiveness. So that is something that is in their favor, according to a poll of 2,000 registered voters conducted in December by Morning Consult. I could not disagree more with the American public on that, if that's what they believe. Those surveyed, however, had different ideas about how much debt should be forgiven and for whom. Nearly 20% of voters said all student loan debt should be forgiven. Okay, now we break it down. 15% said balances should be wiped clean only for lower income Americans. Another 16% said all Americans should have some of their education debt wiped away, while 12% said the same for those with the lowest income. Nearly 30% said that student loan debt should not be forgiven at all. Republicans and baby boomers were the least likely to support any kind of education debt forgiveness, according to the report. There you go. And it's simple as this. You don't take out the loan. There has to be consequences. Forgiving, Democrats want to do massive forgiveness of college loans. You took out the loan. You deal with it. Is that harsh? Because the other side of it is, I didn't take out the loan, and you're telling me I've got to pay for part of it. Why? How is that moral or ethical? You signed it. You agreed to it. You knew what the terms were going to be. I had nothing to do with it. And you want to talk about a bailout? For the most part, college-educated people make a lot more. They still do. And no. And yes, I've talked about it. I worked two jobs. I worked over 50 hours a week during college so I wouldn't have debt. I never slept. I didn't think anything about it. I didn't think anybody owed me anything. I didn't think anybody owed me a college education. Part of what I did was I was a bill collector during college. And so debt is something that, you know, and the consequences of debt is something that hit me really hard squarely in the face when I became a bill collector in college when I was 18 years old and saw what debt did to people. And at that point, I said, nope, don't care what it is. I would rather have nothing, and believe me, I did have nothing, well, almost nothing, for a long period of time because I saw what debt would do. And I always lived way beyond, or way below what I was making. So understand where I come from. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off. He's under the weather. Hopefully he's okay. I found out right before I came on the air. I didn't know it. I was like, oh, where's Eric? I checked the email, and he's under the weather. So hopefully he will be okay and back for tomorrow's show. 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up following the top of the hour also, another reason that I am against the forgiveness of student loans. Always against cheap money, whether it's for housing or education. That coming up.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE, I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off. He's under the weather. We wish him well. Get better soon. Get back here tomorrow. There's just too much to talk about. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream our show live, or you can download our Red Eye Radio app and listen when you want. All right, so just very quickly here, because we were talking about just college loans that the Democrats, again, pressuring Biden. They need a win on something, and they look at the polls. They see, okay, there's a significant constituency out there, especially those that have college debt, which is, what, 40 million Americans, that would like to see some of their debt forgiven. Well, it's not forgiven. It's transferred. Okay, that's the first lie, is that we forgive it. It just magically disappears. It was there, and now it's gone. Now somebody else pays for your decision. And so I'm against it for that reason, that people should be accountable for the debt that they take. You aren't entitled to go to the college that you wish to go for, and the curriculum that you wish to take on, you know, and you agree to the terms of the contract and have others pay for it. But the other point is on it, maybe even equal to the last point. Mark Cuban recognized it, the college bubble. In fact, he said nobody should be able to take out more than $40,000 to go to college. $10,000 a year for a four-year degree, that should be the max. I don't know if he talked about college degrees, but there's a bubble. Education costs way over what it should cost. You see the bloated bureaucracies? just the woke, the new woke departments of, think about how much is spent just for the woke departments in colleges. The only way you get the cost of college down is the fact that people take out loans and they pay for it on their own. You forgive this, then 5 years from now, those people will want their loans forgiven. But you forgive the college loan debt, then money is easier. College costs skyrocket. Again, basic economics. If the money is free, it's worth less, and colleges skyrocket their costs. As we have seen, the cost of going to college way over what inflation has been over the last 30, 40 years in this country. So that's what you're dealing with. I'm not the only one that has recognized it. We aren't here on the show. Mark Cuban did and talked about it extensively, that it is something that you can't do it. College costs will be out of control. Now, the only thing that it has done, it has made people reevaluate the return on their investment. Saying, wait a minute, I'm not going to take out that kind of money to go to college. So actually, it's twofold. There are people that actually could go to college and be productive if it was more reasonable, but make the decision not to. And there are other people that say, maybe college isn't the way to go. Maybe a tech school is the way to go because I can make a heck of a lot more money. And the other point is, I don't want to be funding college education and colleges anymore, not with the liberal propaganda that they are promoting to the students. Sorry. If you want to do that on your own, pay for it on your own. I don't want to be part and be paying for the liberal, socialist, communist, racist ideas coming from the woke departments at many of our elite colleges today. If you wish to go there, it's the United States. If you wish to go there and pay for it, God bless you. I did that. I mentioned God just for the communists. But that shouldn't be a tab being paid for by the American public. So, no, I'm against it. And I also believe, based on my own experiences in my own life, when I was in college, even a senior, I didn't care about education. Education meant nothing to me. I hated high school. Hated it. I've often talked about the fact that there isn't anybody who hated school more than I did, well, except for my older brother, John. And there was no one who hated homework more than me ever in the history of education, except for my older brother, John. He knows I say that on the air. He gets the biggest kick out of it. And what job do I do? One where you constantly have to do homework every single day, 7 days a week. It's like, what the hell happened there? Well, you change. Education didn't mean anything to me because it wasn't costing me anything. You want to see a change in a person and their priorities? When I went to college and had to pay for it myself, all of a sudden there I am in the student union at 6 a.m. in a study group, where 6 months before I was like, whatever, just squeak by. Why? I was paying for it. And I was working at the same time while going to college, and that work was paying for my college. See, I connected the dots. Even at 18, I connected the dots. Education had worth because I was paying for it. So that's my own experience with it. Other people's experiences are different, but I think it's important just to bring that up. But you can't forget, college would not cost as much today if the money wasn't so easy, just like the housing bubble. I never forget Mark Cuban talking about it, and then the left accepted it. Oh, okay, well, yeah, that's probably a good idea. We are spending too much, because Mark Cuban says it. It's like, well, duh. Mark Cuban understands economics. I understand economics. And we've seen it happening. And again, he related it, as we did, directly to the housing bubble. It's like, you got a lot of cheap money, prices will skyrocket. But the one good thing is there are a significant portion of people in this country now looking at what the return of your investment is going to be and have decided, nope, I may go to, I'm going to look for a technical trade, which, by the way, will always suit you well. That's the Mike Rowe in me. All right, so I love this because the left was going nuts on this. It was Mediaite.com was basically complaining because they said seven times that the Fox News yesterday bringing up, you know, Hillary, basically obsessed with Hillary. You know, this there was an op-ed piece written by Democratic strategist that said Hillary should run. She's the best candidate. So Fox was all over that. Fox was only over it because they know that Hillary would energize the right. Well, yeah, you're probably right at it, but you're probably right with that. It would energize the Republican Party. But Douglas Schoen wrote this article, and there is a lot of truth to it. Douglas Schoen and Andrew Stein. A perfect storm in the Democratic Party is once making the unfathomable scenario plausible, a political comeback for Hillary in 2024. Several circumstances, President Biden's low approval rating, doubts over his capacity to run for re-election, Vice President Kamala Harris's unpopularity, and the absence of another strong Democrat to lead the ticket in 2024 has created a leadership vacuum in the party, which Mrs. Clinton viably could fill. She is already in an advantageous position to become the 2024 Democratic nominee. She is an experienced national figure who is younger than Mr. Biden and can offer a different approach from the disorganized and unpopular one the party is currently taking. If Democrats lose control of Congress in 2022, Mrs. Clinton can use the party's loss as a basis to run for president again, enabling her to claim the title of, quote, the change candidate. Based on her latest political statements, it's clear that Mrs. Clinton not only recognizes her position as a potential front runner, but also is setting up a process to help her decide whether or not to run for president again. She recently warned of the electoral consequences in the 2020 midterms if the Democratic Party continues to align itself with its progressive wing, and urged Democrats to reject far-left positions that isolate key segments of the electorate. In a recent MSNBC interview, she called on Democrats to engage in, quote, careful thinking about what wins elections and not just in deep blue districts where a Democrat or a liberal Democrat or so-called progressive Democrat is going to win. She also noted that party's House majority comes from people who win in much more difficult districts. Mrs. Clinton also took a veiled jab at the Biden administration and congressional Democrats in order to create distance. She said this. Are you ready for this? It's from Mrs. Clinton on Biden. It means nothing if we don't have a Congress that will get things done and we don't have a White House that we can count on to be sane and sober and stable and productive. Even Bill Clinton recently set the stage for his wife's potential 2024 candidacy, referring to her in an interview with People magazine as, quote, the most qualified person to run for office in my lifetime, including me. He didn't really mean that. He's lying there. Adding that not electing her in 2016 is one of the most profound mistakes we have ever made. We can infer, based on these recent remarks, that Mrs. Clinton would seize the opportunity for run for president again if an opening presents itself. But what are the odds that an opportunity will arise? The Democrats' domestic agenda is in disarray given the failure of Mr. Biden's Build Back Better plan in Congress. Senate Democrats' latest desperate push to repeal the legislative filibuster to pass their secondary legislative priority, voting rights reform, will likely weaken their agenda further. Mr. Biden's overall approval rating is in the low 40s, 33% in the latest Quinnipiac poll, by the way. As is his rating on issues including the economy and jobs, 38%, taxes and government spending, 33%, according to a recent Economist YouGov poll. Nearly two-thirds of independent voters disapprove of the president. Barring a major course correction, we can anticipate that some Democrats will lose important House and Senate races in 2022, in part for the reasons Mrs. Clinton identified. By the way, he was on Fox News yesterday, Douglas Schoen, who wrote the article, and said, Harris, nope. Biden, nope. Buttigieg, come on. He said there's the whole point is there are no Democrats. There isn't any. There are no there isn't one Democrat out there except Hillary, was his point. Here's a question I would ask. Does anybody believe that Mrs. Clinton would actually bring change as a moderate to this Congress, which they don't have any moderates left. He's called a moderate Manchin, but Manchin is simply a pre-COVID liberal. But does anybody actually believe that Hillary Clinton is actually a moderate? Do you know her past? She was the one, even during the Clinton administration, she was the ideologue. She's as liberal as you can possibly get. But it's like, okay, who can fake that they're a moderate? That's what it comes down to. Can she fake that she's a moderate? And Democratic strategists believe, yes, we have nobody left who can fake they're a moderate. She, we believe, can fake that she's a moderate. But she is not. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This is the Marketplace Minute. I'm Justin Ho. The stock market closed up on Wednesday. The Dow gained 0.1%. The S&P added 0.3%. The NASDAQ rose over 0.2%. The prices we pay for goods and services rose 0.5% in December, according to the Labor Department. Prices have risen 7% over the last 12 months. In December, housing costs and used car and truck prices rose the most. At the same time, average hourly earnings rose 0.1% in December, even after factoring in all those higher prices. That said, it depends on what sector we're talking about. Leisure and hospitality jobs have seen big pay increases, but wages in manufacturing and construction have not kept up with inflation. The Federal Reserve says the economy expanded modestly at the end of last year. Labor shortages and supply chain disruptions have been holding back growth. I'm Justin Ho with the Marketplace Minute.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has a morning off. He's under the weather. Wish him well. I hope he's okay. Let me see. So it's 3 years. 3 years till we elect a new president. So, all right. I guess I have to continue working. I guess I can't retire if Hillary's going to run. If Hillary and Trump both run, I have to stay. I can't leave this job. I had no plan. By the way, I had no plans on leaving to begin with. I just so everybody knows, I have zero retirement plans. Not in the plan at all. As long as I remain healthy. Let's quickly head to you on student loans. Let us go to Chuck in Phoenix. Chuck, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I thought of a good idea. Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
I thought of a good idea that once they, you know, the faster they pay the loan off, then the bigger discount they get at the end of the loan. That way that they can, you know, benefit from getting the money reduced, but then they pay it off much faster, puts more money back in the system.
I have no problem restructuring loans in a variety of way from people that have already taken out loans. What I am against is the massive forgiveness, for example, that they're talking about of $50,000 of doing it. I'm against it. No way do I think it helps the education system at all. And so restructuring loans to have an incentive to pay it off early or to restructure loans that exist right now. I used to be a bill collector. I dealt with that all the time. I have no problem with any of that. But that's not what we're discussing. What we're discussing in this country right now is basically the transferring of a significant portion of loans to people who had nothing to do with taking out those loans. It's time for your national forecast.
There'll be several areas of snow chances around the country today, including the upper Great Lakes, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Also on the lee side of the Great Lakes, from Cleveland into upstate New York and onward into Maine. Central Ohio and Pittsburgh could pick up some snow showers, especially this afternoon. In the Pacific Northwest, rain for the coast, snow and ice for the Cascades. That system will be pushing over the Rockies and eastward. And a big weather maker 24 hours from now is shaping up for the Northern Plains. This will put several inches of snow throughout the states of North and South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota. Instead of this system just moving straight across the U.S.-Canadian border, it's going to dip southward, losing a lot of energy until Friday into Saturday, when that cold weather meets up with warm, moist air from the south, a snowmaker for the Tennessee Valley by the weekend. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Your forecast is brought to you by Low Viscosity Kendall Super DFE. With increased protection and fuel savings, low viscosity leads to victory.
Polling better than Biden. Eric and Gary on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE if you'd like to get in. So you like the idea of Hillary running again? I'd laugh at that. What makes me laugh the most, though, is the way that it seems that liberals got ticked off at that yesterday, that Fox seemed to cover that story a lot about the Douglas Schoen op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal where he said, look, tell me who's better. And they seem to be immediately offended, you know, by that. Well, they're only talking about it because they know that it would motivate the Republican base. Yeah, it would, but they do bring up a great question. Tell me another Democrat, because this is how I view it, because their whole point is, tell us where there's another Democrat who is a moderate. I don't phrase it that way. I phrase it, tell me who exists in the Democratic Party that believes they can fake being a moderate to the public. And that would be Hillary. So there is a legit point to that. Because when you look at anybody else, somebody in the left, oh, I got to find this on Twitter because somebody was giving, who was it? Somebody said, I got to find this tweet. It was like, Biden and Liz Cheney should run. That's, that would be the ticket that would run. And I think, who was the other one? Harris and somebody. Kamala Harris and Romney as vice president. It's like, come on. I swear. I have to check to see whether these people who are writing these things on Twitter, whether they live in a state where pot is legal. Because, no, not pot. A lot harder drugs than pot. Like, what in the world? Harris and Romney. I have to find the tweet. I was just scanning, and I just went through it really quick, and I went, this is so bizarre. And just it just popped into my head now, and this is when I think to myself, I should have kept that. 866-90-RED-EYE, also talking about the fact that Democrats really are pressuring Biden with all these losses, including the loss, which I believe you're going to see in the filibuster, trying to get anything out of this the next couple of months. And so they're trying to get him motivated to forgive student loans. Oops. The F word is not the right word. It's transfer student loans. The Democrats wish to transfer, because when you say forgive, it's like you're forgiven. Nobody is paying for it. It's just forgiven. You had it, and now you don't. And it's forgiven. Where did it go? It went into forgiven space. It does not exist anymore. It's just gone. Really? We can do that? Are there any consequences, or does anybody else have to pay for it? No. Don't talk about that. It's just forgiven. It goes in to the wide universe of forgiven space to never be seen again. And, of course, that's ridiculous. It's transferred to other people who did not take out the loan, who did not sign the contract. It's up to them to pay it. And once you start it, then you're going to see it every couple of years. And then college costs will continue to skyrocket. And there will not be an emphasis to pay off your college loan because you'll be waiting for something to happen. Hey, what's going to happen anyway? You know, we talked about this earlier when I talked about, you know, the whole when we had John Taffer from Bar Rescue on and people get into debt and all that. And maybe generations think differently. To me, and again, my experience is unique. I admit my experience is unique. Most people don't have it. And I also had a father that was on my case all the time about debt, constantly. And then I became a bill collector at 18. And I saw that at that time that and the thing was the what my experience, because what I dealt with was line of credits. And this was basically unsecured line of credits that the bank would give out. And at that time, and we're talking the mid-70s. So we're talking $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. You know, lines of credit, maybe the most I ever saw, I'm trying to think of the credit limit that I ever saw was probably about there could have been a couple of maybe of 100,000, I don't remember really seeing that, maybe 40 or 50,000. But most people back then, and 10 and 20,000 was a lot, you know, more, but it was revolving line of credit. And in my experience, because I started collecting that really for the first year, and then I collected everything from that point from MasterCard. Hey, you know, the interesting thing is my buddy Jerry, who's coming in to see me this weekend, and we met being bill collectors. All he did was, for a significant period of time, I think that might have been all he did in collections, was collect student loans. And I do remember that, I believe he told me, well, it's really the easiest one to collect because the bank gave out the student loan, but if you defaulted, it simply went to the federal government. They had to back it. I'll have to ask him this weekend because that's all because he also collected a few other things, but I thought he was, for a significant period of time, he was just collecting student loans. But then I did credit cards, I did everything, but the majority of the time was line of credit. The people that most abused credit were the people that had jobs and money. And so whatever the upper middle class was at that time, whatever they were making, if in the upper middle class might have been $40,000 a year or $50,000 a year, they would get to that level and spend like they were making $100,000. Those were the people that, again, my experience, and I collected line of credit. I didn't collect credit cards, so I really didn't deal with, just a little bit I did, but not enough to really get an idea of back then of how people, you know, used, you know, revolving credit like that. Unsecured credit, by the way. It was an unsecured credit line. And the funny thing is, I saw that some banks, you know, a couple of months back said no more lines of credit. And all of a sudden on my credit cards, all my credit cards, I can do line of credits now. You can have a line of credit. Okay, well, so line of credit still exists. They just put it in the form of a credit card. And I think every one of my credit cards, the banks have done that. Oh, you can take out, and I don't even know. I'm throwing out the figure. I don't even know what it is because I start reading it. I rip it up. I have no interest in taking out a line of credit. And now, as I'm getting closer to my mortgage getting paid off, I'm getting it constantly from the bank. Oh, you need to refinance. Oh, you refinance. Ah, home improvements, home improvements. No, I want it over. And so a focus of my life, when I could have taken out a lot of debt, I was a bill collector. So I know I'm unique in that way, and I understand that. But to me, debt means something. I can feel it. I don't view it as just numbers. There's like a terror that exists if I had debt that I couldn't pay off. I mean, it goes to my soul. I don't know if it's the same thing today. I don't know. I've come to learn that people think differently than I do. And maybe it's part generational. Maybe it came, I'm assuming a lot of it came because I had depression parents who went through the depression. And so they pounded into me. They were so anti-debt. Everybody had the latest color TV by the time we got to the early 70s. Now we had that little black and white. Dad just wasn't going to do it. Live beneath your means all the time. So that was the culture that I grew up in. And a lot of things are cultural. It's the environment that you're in. 866-90-RED-EYE. Let us go to Don in Amarillo. Don, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for taking my call. How's things going with you?
Good. Hanging in there. What's up?
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. I was talking to your call screener about the debt forgiveness and student loans, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
What, a lot of people aren't realizing our taxpayer dollars are already paying for low and no income students to go to college through the Pell Grant system. Those are all federally funded by the government, which is our money. So we're already on the hook for a lot of people being indoctrinated in these liberal colleges. And we have no choice. We have no say in it. The student loan forgiveness that they keep pushing, that's a whole lot like some of Uncle Bernie stuff, you know, all this free, free, free stuff. There is no free lunch. Not in this country, not anywhere. And I'm just I'm on board with you, but I don't think they need to forgive this student loan debt either. I've got a little student loan that I'm paying off, but I'm paying it off. I got the benefit from the loan. I got the education from the loan. So therefore I feel like it's my responsibility, even as a taxpayer, you know, and I've been paying taxes for 47 years, but I still feel like it's my responsibility to pay for that loan that I took out because I chose to take it out. I'll give you another spin on this. The state of Texas right now, and I don't know, it's probably other states, they're using the Pell Grant system in our prison system, getting people in prison college educations with Pell Grants. You can look that up if you'd like.
All right, I'll have to look it because from what I know, that is illegal.
What's going on?
Reading it right here from the U.S. government, you are not eligible to receive a Pell Grant, federal Pell Grant, if you are incarcerated. Are you saying there's a state Pell Grant that mirrors the federal?
There's There is a 5-year program going on in the state of Texas.
Okay, that's a state program then. That's a state program, not a federal.
But you fill out the FAFSA application, it's coming from the federal government, though.
I hate to say,
but I'm a recipient of that. I got the Pell Grant 3 years while I took college while I was incarcerated. That is going on right now. It's a pilot program.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, so it's not part of the normal. It's a pilot program.
No, it's a little test program they're using right now, but those are federal taxpayer dollars that are going into our prison system to educate people in there.
Yeah, that's a great point you bring up about Pell Grants, though, about people that have exceptional need and wish to get a degree that, you know, they can get the Pell Grant, which is why it's called a grant and not a loan. But I just think that when you get into debt and you pay off a loan, that it's an important part, I think, of being just a productive member of society, where, you know, that basically you're paying off your own debt. I know for me, when I went to college, and as I mentioned earlier, when I education was completely different once I had to pay for it, completely different. If I knew somebody else was paying for it, I guarantee I would have not taken it as seriously. All right, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Fred Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has a morning off. He's under the weather, so it's me and you. Coming up following the top of the hour, there were some good speeches by Republicans yesterday, Republican senators. We'll have one coming up that isn't, it's a good speech, and one moment of it, I will have to stop just to chuckle again. But coming up, you won't want to miss it, coming up following the top of the hour. It won't be Mitch McConnell, even though, you know, McConnell said yesterday Biden's speech was incoherent, incorrect. And abandoned rational persuasion. He said, look, I've known, liked, and personally respected Joe Biden for many years. I did not recognize the man at the podium yesterday. The president's rant yesterday was incoherent, incorrect, and beneath his office. Yesterday, with the world's largest megaphone, he invoked the literal civil war and said we are on the doorstep to autocracy. Talked about domestic enemies, rhetoric unbecoming of a president of the United States, he added. So there you go. Oh, man. Interesting times, but we'll go over it all coming up.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.